So Raul, thank you for being with us. And Raul is the president of another division. This is definitely the division forum. So he is the president of the National Association of Guide Dog Users, commonly known as NAGDU. You know, some of these acronyms have pretty cool sounding words. And that's one of them, I think. NAGDU. Yeah, try to say that five times fast. We are really happy to have you speak to us, and you may take it away.
Thank you very much for the warm welcome. And I do have to say that I am glad that we call ourselves the National Association of Guide Dog Users and not Dog Guide Users, because that would really be a weird acronym. Couldn't even say it. So thank you once again. And I do believe that Katie Lester has won a NAGDU door prize of an Amazon gift card. So I know for a fact that she can spend that money. So thank you. Once again, my name is Raul Gallegos. I am the newest and current president of the National Association of Guide Dog Users. I was elected into office. The convention, the 2020 convention, our first virtual, and NAGDU right now is made up of seven wonderful board of directors members, most of which are new when compared to the board from about 3 years ago. So we've had quite a change, quite a turnover, and we're taking a slightly different direction than what has been in the past. So I'm going to talk to you about some of the things that NAGDU is doing and what some of our direction is in terms of building the federation. First and foremost, before we're guide dog users, we are still blind people. So we are still trying to achieve equality, dependence for blind people in the area specifically of guide dog users. I myself am a guide dog user, but I will be the first to tell you that I am a proud cane user. I don't believe that a guide dog will replace the cane, even though there are people who believe otherwise, and that's okay. For me, the ability to travel independently with a long white cane is sort of like having my cake and eating it too. Having a guide dog is having my favorite frosting on that cake. One thing that we do is take a neutral viewpoint when it comes to guide dog training programs. I get a lot of questions from folks who are in or out of our federation family. And one of the first questions they ask is, where should I get my guide dog from? My answer, although I could give them the name of my school where I got my dog from because I've got some bias, my answer to them is, what are you looking for in a guide dog? Do you really want a guide dog? Do you know about these kinds of things in a guide dog? So in a way, I kind of do an assessment or an intake and find out maybe where they're at. Does the breed of the dog matter? Does the location matter? Do certain things matter of what the guide dog training program might offer? For example, vet expenses covered, ownership, in-person support, home training, all these kinds of things are important to some and not important to others. Once that person thinks about these questions and the answer to these questions, they can make a better informed choice. Ultimately, that is what our goal is to allow the people the freedom and give them the tools and the knowledge so that they can make an informed choice about choosing a guide dog. Another thing that we do is we help with answering questions about advocacy and the legal aspects of having a guide dog. Very often we get folks who reach out to us that say that a taxi driver won't take them because they have their guide dog, or an Uber or Lyft has denied giving them rides because they have their guide dog. We hear about people who are asked to sit outside at a restaurant in the pet area or where it's extremely cold or extremely hot just because they have their guide dog. So we try to help with the educational aspect, not only to educate the users of the guide dogs, the handlers, but also to help educate the businesses or the entities that may not know better. We believe that everyone has rights and responsibilities, and that is not just for the blind person with the guide dog, but also for the entity where we will be traveling with our guide dogs. As an example, I have the right to take my dog with me into a hotel, a restaurant, inside an Uber car. However, the owner of that restaurant, Uber, or, you know, hotel also has the right to ask me to leave if my dog is posing danger, if my dog is out of control, things of that nature. So we try to educate from both sides of the coin to make sure that everyone is respectful and following the law. Some of the things that we are doing to gain more membership and put awareness out there of NAGDU is we are hosting every 2 weeks. In fact, we did one today called Yappy Hour. Yappy Hour is something that we started right around the pandemic, where we devised a way for people to meet in a social environment where we do absolutely no business. The only rule that we have is that we will abide by the National Federation of the Blind Code of Conduct, and that we will be respectful to one another no matter what, and we will not do business. This way, people can come and leave as they please. They can ask questions about guide dog things. We've had many discussions about different types of food. We've had discussions on different harness handles, different toys. And then sometimes we even stray out of the guide dog realm and talk about things like what are some good air purifiers. So we talk a little bit about different things. And this way, it is a way for folks interested to get to know the board of directors, get to know each other and one another. And I do have to say, again, not meaning to put you on the spot, but Katie Lester is one of our biggest Yappy Hour fans. Although I hope you didn't attend Yappy Hour today.
No, I missed it. I know I missed it for the last couple of months. Yes. I'm like off kilter.
Yeah, it's all good. I get it. So one of the things that spawned from Yappy Hour, and this was because we saw that there were certain topics that kept coming up over and over, and people really wanted to know questions about these kinds of topics, is a monthly, once per month meeting called Guide Dog Matters. And this is a monthly get together that we typically will host on the third Sunday of every month. Normally we would have one tomorrow, but things have been so crazy with other stuff and we were not able to secure a speaker. So we're pushing it back to November, and the next one will be on November 14th. And each one has a different topic. As an example, one of the topics that we had was asking the right questions when choosing a guide dog. So similar to what I mentioned at the beginning of some of the questions that I ask folks, we also had a segment on trusting your dog. If you're going to be relying on another living creature to guide you around as a mobility tool, there has to be some trust there that he's not going to run you into something, or you're going to go tumbling down some stairs, or all these kinds of things. And dogs are so in tune to a person's feelings that they can feel if you're nervous. And, you know, so we talked about how to work through some of those trust issues that folks may have. As an example, I am often thought of as a control freak. I like things my way. I want to know that things are getting done the right way, because this way I know they're getting done. When I first got my guide dog, I've had dogs since 1993. The biggest hurdle for me was trusting my dog, because I am putting my safety and my life in that kind of trust, so that as I'm walking around doing, you know, whatever, getting from point A to point B, you do have to trust. So we had a segment on that. We've had segments on different kinds of foods and diets and toys. And so the list goes on and on. We always invite folks to give us feedback. If you want to see a segment on a certain topic, definitely reach out to us, and we will be more than happy to consider that, put it in the schedule, and move forward as the months go by. The other thing that we do, talked about Yappy Hour, Guide Dog Matters, is we also have our monthly board of directors meetings. Now, the monthly board of directors meetings are meetings for the board of directors to have to make decisions on how the organization, rather the division, is moving. While the only time that the general NAGDU membership has input and votes on things is during our business meeting at National Convention, the board meetings for transparency are open for folks to come and visit with us to observe the board meeting and also to ask questions. We encourage folks to write questions ahead of time so that we can have time to put them into the agenda. And if there's time and it fits what we are doing at that moment, we will certainly address those issues. We may not have the answers, but we will certainly address the issues. NAGDU is going through a phase right now where we are rebuilding our website. We actually have not been moved over to the, through the website transfer project. We have not been moved over to part of nfp.org, but that is going to be happening in March next year. So we have been taking steps to do our part to ensure that the website transfer goes smoothly. Meanwhile, you can still visit nagdu.org and find a lot of information that I just mentioned, including our contact information, our phone number, our email address, which I am happy to share here as well. We also have a Facebook group where you can find us on Facebook, which is facebook.com/groups/NAGDU, or you can search for NAGDU in the Facebook search bar. This is a public group where we have over 1,200 members, both NAGDU and non-NAGDU, NFB and non-NFB members, asking questions, having a discussion. Again, really the only rule there is be respectful of others and we abide by the code of conduct. We have a Twitter account that you can follow at NAGDU. No surprise there. And we will often post our meeting announcements and things of interest that we may find that our membership that follows us might find useful. All of these things that I mentioned, meeting times, meeting events, when, what time, etc., would not be possible, I think, personally, unless we had some kind of a calendar system. So in the last couple of years, I have implemented a calendar that you can subscribe to where you will be notified about NAGDU meetings and events, but also other guide dog user divisions who are hosting meetings and other events. We always encourage our friends from other state affiliates who have guide dog user groups or guide dog user divisions to please let us know about that. And we are happy to put that on the calendar so that folks will be
informed. That works for
informed.
Me.
Yes. You're a fan of the calendar, I believe. Okay. So
how about others interested in the study group? Question mark.
And so for contact information,
test field.
The best way to get a hold of us is you can always write to board@nagdu.org. That's board@nagdu.org. That is a shared email list that goes to the entire 7 board of directors members. Also, the phone number that NAGDU has right now is area code 346-439-7444. Again, that's 346-439-7444. That is a Houston, Texas number. I just so happen to live in Houston, Texas, so it is not a coincidence that the number belongs in Houston. The number and the email address is on our website, but I am also happy to send it out to Michael or Bonnie here so that, or Katie even, to make sure it gets forwarded and shared across with anyone who's interested. I'd like to pause for a bit, if it's okay, just to see if there's any questions before I have a couple of other things to share. But I can pause for a little bit in case there's questions.
Yeah, if you want to raise your hand, folks, we'll take your questions. I want to ask you now, I apologize, I'm multitasking.
I understand.
Have you talked about paperwork or what people need to have, make sure before they do air travel?
That is coming up here after the question break.
That's a great idea. I know it came up yesterday. We were talking about it with somebody. Refresh my memory. Who was talking about it? We were talking about it with, I don't exactly remember. Oh, well.
Okay. I can certainly touch on that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if there's no questions about Yappy Hour Guide Dog Matters, let's go ahead and talk about traveling with your guide dog. As many of you may know, and if you don't know, you will. Early this year, on January 11th, the new ACAA rules went into effect. ACAA is the Air Carrier Access Act, which is one of the 3 laws that pertain to access in different areas. And so the ACAA is what has the laws that we abide by and has our protections the moment we set foot onto a plane. There are 3 laws that folks may know about. There's the ADA, which is the Americans with Disability Act, and there's the FHA, which is the Fair Housing Act. The Fair Housing Act is when you live in a home, a house, home, apartment, etc., any living quarters. ADA is for public access, anything that has to do with being out in public, whether it has to do with work or accessing public entities. So the ACAA specifically was changed. And the biggest change, I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not going to tell you this word for word, but essentially it comes down to this. The Department of Transportation has made the change so that airlines may require you to fill out paperwork to prove that you, or to attest rather, that you are traveling with a legitimate guide dog or service dog in terms of the law. Okay. So breaking that down a little bit, may require, okay, that means that the Department of Transportation isn't saying that the airlines have to ask for this or don't have to. It just basically says that they are giving the airlines leeway to ask for this documentation or not. So that means that some airlines will. Some airlines won't. Some airlines will ask you for it on the way there, but not on the way back. And who knows what's going to happen when you travel. Maybe you book through Expedia or some of these travel sites where you might fly an American one way, but come back on United the next. The bottom line is currently, right now, it is best to have these forms ready and filled out, if possible, whether you are asked for them or not. Personally, I find this offensive. These forms, while the DOT feels that they are accessible, and I have a test copy of some of these forms that does show that they are mostly accessible. They're accessible if you meet certain criteria. If you are using a Windows operating system, and if you're using the most current version of JAWS and or NVDA, and if you have the Adobe DC reader that's not opening within your browser, if, what happens if somebody is using an Android phone? What happens if someone has an iPhone or iPad and no computer? What happens if someone only has a flip phone for their communication? They don't do computers. They don't do smartphones. What then? So the airlines say that you can get some reasonable accommodation help to fill out this form at the gate. They're basically basing it off of the ADA, the Modifying of Practices, Policies, and Procedures, which means that if an airline personnel person has the time and understands what's going on, they could really fill that out for you. It also means that, you know, you may get that help, you may not. It may happen, may not. So there's too many variables, too many unknowns. The whole reason why this changed was there was a huge influx, huge problem with people bringing their pets on board the planes and not wanting to pay for them to be transported. And they were passing off these pets as emotional support animals and service animals. People would just say, well, this dog makes me feel good by being here. And that's a service dog. Well, no, it's not. You know, a dog is not a service dog if its presence makes you feel good and happy. I recognize that there are people who genuinely need to have an animal and, you know, for that kind of comfort, but that is classified an emotional support animal, not a service animal. So the ACAA defines that emotional support animals, or ESAs, are not allowed. And then it further defines that if you have a service dog, only dogs qualify as service dogs, and that you attest when you fill out this form that may or may not be required that your dog is a service dog. Let me pick on a couple of airlines here. Southwest Airlines. I promise I'm not getting any kickbacks here when I say this. Southwest Airlines generally tends to be one of the easier ones to fly with, both before the ACAA new ruling went into effect and didn't. I say this based on my own experience, but also on things that I hear from other guide dog handlers. Most of the time, Southwest is not required in the forms, or if they are, their gate agent folks are more than happy and willing to help you get that filled out. American Airlines, what they did is they have a system where you still fill out the form and you upload it on their website, and they will issue you a travel number for your guide dog. Think of it like a frequent flyer number. And this number is good for a year. So while you fly on American Airlines for that year, you no longer have to fill out that form. You're good. You pass go. And you don't have to keep doing that. Alaska Airlines also has implemented something similar where they have the form in an accessible method on the website. I say this from past information. I haven't been to their site recently to check to see if that's changed. The problem is that some websites that do something similar, the website itself to fill out the form is not accessible, or they want you to email it to them, but they don't really provide an easy way for you to do this. So it's kind of a hit or miss. you have to call their accessibility hotline, and half of the time you get correct information, half of the time you don't. I have done this. I have called an airline three or four different times, the same airline, gotten three or four different people, and gotten three or four different answers. So we have some problems here that we want to get rid of, fixed rather. If you attended the national convention earlier this year, I had about a minute or a minute and a half to talk to the Secretary of Transportation. And in short, I asked him to consider making these forms go away for blind people. And we are taking steps to make that happen. So that's where we are with travel with ACAA. Bottom line right now is try to get that form filled out if you can. Just know that right now it's kind of a hit or miss. Unfortunately, in the ruling, it also says that if your dog does not fit in the space provided where your feet go, that they have the right to ask you to not fly. And I have a problem with that, because what happens if you're going on a trip with a family? It's time critical. It could be vacation. It could be, you know, someone's ill, et cetera. You can't miss this plane, but they can ask you to not fly. And that's not cool. The problem with this is you get people who see a person with a guide dog. And let's say the guide dog is 85 pounds. The untrained airline agent does not know that you might have more experience than they do. And you can sit perfectly in a regular seat if you choose to, with your dog underneath the seat in front of you, and that 85 pound dog will fit. I guarantee you it can. I've done this. And you get these people who think that they're experts just by looking at you and the dog. Oh, you have to sit in bulkhead. No, you don't. So I'm not trying to paint a negative picture, but I'm trying to paint a real picture. I'm hoping that with efforts that we have from our membership, from our leadership, from our legal department, that we can make a change going forward, and it will be for the positive.
Okay, while we're being controversial, can we talk a little bit, because this came up at the convention, resolution about guide dog schools and the rights of people if their animals are taken away.
Thank you. Love this question. So one of the resolutions that was written, so just to finish on the ACAA, that was one of the resolutions that was written. It was written by Al Elia, who is a lawyer and who is now on the NAGDU board, about the ACAA. So that's the part that, you know, I can say that we're moving forward. Okay. So let's talk about the other resolution. So there was another resolution that had a bit of controversy. There was a very high chance of possibility that it wouldn't pass. And in the end, it did. While I supported the resolution in the sense that it, you know, went forward, my wife did not support it. You know, so there was, you know, some people kind of shook their heads like, why is it that the NAGDU president is supporting this, but his wife is very open about not supporting it. So let me give you a little bit of background first that leads up to this, and then maybe this will make a little more sense. In the past, there was a resolution in 2015 at the National Convention that was authored by the then NAGDU president. That was basically about ownership. That's all this resolution was about that everyone deserves to have ownership of their guide dog so that schools cannot take the dogs away from the handler. The resolution did not pass. It, if I remember right, it did not pass, spectacularly did not pass. Very controversial. There are a lot of guide dog users who either don't care about ownership of their guide dog, or there are guide dog users who are, if you'll pardon the pun, blindly loyal to their guide dog training program. And I get it. I do understand that. So there's two sides of this. Number one, are guide dog schools illegally taking dogs away from people? Has that happened? Yes, it has. Unfortunately, there are incidents where a guide dog training program has illegally taken a dog that maybe someone was to have supposed to own or have so-called ownership rights of this dog. Have we collected enough data for it? There, you know, we don't. We don't have a lot of data to really support this. We have cases, we have situations where people talk about it, but not a lot of it. So the other side of things is there are people who, like I said, for example, don't really care if the school retains ownership, because they feel if this school put in, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars to train this dog, and they're giving it to you basically for free, then maybe they should retain some ownership. They're looking at it from the viewpoint of, it's similar to, you know, people who have like racing dogs or show dogs. You know, these are dogs that are typically not owned by just one person. They could be owned by an entity, right? A lot of this problem too comes from, you know, if you have a problem or, you know, if someone's accusing you of maltreating your dog, who is the one who comes in and has the final say so as to how this gets handled, right? So is it, you know, is it animal control? Is it your local city? Or is it the guide dog training program? So some people feel that the guide dog training program should, because they're going to know your guide dog the most. They're going to know what a guide dog is. Other people feel that it should be animal control because that's how they handle all other animal complaints in case of abuse or neglect, etc. So where does NAGDU fall with this, right? That's really what one of the questions is. Where we fall with this is, it goes back to one of the first things that I said, is we are, you know, we want people to be treated legally correct. We want people to be, you know their rights. We want people to have informed choice as to what they're getting into. Currently, if you get a guide dog from a school that does not offer ownership, and ownership is a big deal to you, then maybe you shouldn't get a guide dog from that school. It's about choice right now. Until something has changed, right now that's the way that things are. Now, if a guide dog training program offers ownership and then they illegally seize that dog from you, then that's something different, because if you have violated a contract or if you have, you know, abused or neglected this dog and the dog is legally yours, then the guide dog school should not, and, you know, it's not supposed to intervene. I'll give an example. Seeing Eye will transfer ownership of the dog to the handler. I believe that Freedom Dogs, as well, we'll do that. And so there's a number of other schools. The Texas Guide Dog School here in San Antonio, Texas will also do that. The way they do it is they actually sell you the dog for like a dollar, and that makes it a legal exchange. So there are those schools that will do that, and then they don't interfere. There was some issues that came up early this year where someone's dog in Florida was taken from them. And there are people who feel that that dog was illegally taken from this person. And there are people who feel that it wasn't. So, you know, as far as from what I know, that situation is still in court. I don't know that it's been resolved. If it has, I have not seen any news updates about it. Some of the issues were that the dog was 4 pounds overweight, and this school came and took this dog, claiming that it was 4 pounds overweight. But then when you really saw what was going on, the dog could barely walk, and it looked like the dog was more like 30 pounds overweight. Whether they followed the proper procedure is really what it comes down to, and that's what it's going to be looked at legally. So what we're trying to do with this resolution, so I've kind of been bouncing all over the place to kind of paint the picture and come back to this. So this resolution that did pass is basically where we are calling on all the guide dog training programs to make their materials fully accessible. And we're also calling on the guide dog programs to be transparent about what they offer and what they don't offer. This is a first step. Will it solve all the problems? No, it will not. But one of my goals is to establish a positive communication with the various different guide dog training programs, because there are a lot of them out there that don't take NAGDU seriously, or they think that NAGDU is, you know, very adversarial and very combative. And what I'd like to do is show them that we are willing to work with them, and we're hoping that we can come up with a positive agreement as to how folks are treated when they have their guide dogs. And if in the case of ownership, we want it to be clear that if they are giving a person ownership of the dog, that it truly means ownership. It doesn't mean this half ownership or ownership when it's convenient. So, you know, so that's what this resolution is about, is this taking this first step as to making this happen. Back to the whole informed choice. We want the schools to make sure that they're providing all of the training materials, all of the contracts, let folks know what they are agreeing to before they commit, before they go. You know, don't give the person the contract after they've bonded with this dog, after they've been there, and then a person might feel like they're obligated to sign this contract and say yes to everything because now they're bonded with this dog and the school put them there at their expense, et cetera, et cetera. No, you know, the school should have this at the very beginning so that people know what they're signing. And so that's essentially what this resolution is about and what we're going to do moving forward. Any questions?
Any questions from anyone? Please raise your hand.
I just want to say, this is Bonnie, and I just want to say you have just presented a huge amount of information. I think for anybody considering a guide dog, being closely involved with the National Association of Guide Dog Users is a really good idea. And I know Katie is just, I've heard her say, oh, I can't miss Yappy Hour. So I think that name is just like so cool. I mean, yeah, it's perfect. So any questions though? Well, thank you, Raul, for coming and sharing with us.
I have one. Now, Raul, I assume that the Independence Market has plenty of useful items, right, for guide dog users?
Yes. Well, yes, thank you. So you can get the brochure that is meeting a working guide dog team, and it has information about the basic, the two questions that folks are allowed to ask you, and those are the ones that are covered under the ADA. There's a lot.
Did you go over those while you were? Did you go over those?
I haven't. So here's what they are.
Why don't you tell us?
Oh, yes. Yep. So the two questions is that a service animal? Is that a guide dog? Is that a service animal? You know, the answer is yes or no. What service is the dog or animal trained to do or to perform? Trained being the key word. So notice you can't ask about the person's disability. Nothing like that. The only legal animals allowed as service dogs under the ADA are miniature horses and dogs. There is no restriction on breeds, although I would have a hard time believing that somebody who's 6'3" and is using a Chihuahua, trying to pass a Chihuahua off as a guide, I would question that, right? So
they probably step on it before they got to the gate.
So it's about observing, right? So, you know, the thing about blindness is that when you observe a dog performing this service, it is pretty obvious as to what that is. And teaching businesses, teaching entities is what it's all about. And so that's what the two questions are. So this means that, people can't have, you know, guide spiders, guide birds, guide cats, you know, that just does not.
Dang, apply. I always wanted a guide cat.
I know. So those brochures will have that information. I think it's important for folks to have them, especially if you're going to be traveling, going to, you know, hotels, restaurants or whatever, especially traveling and things like taxis and whatnot, because we'll often hear this, well, I'm allergic. I can't have this, or my religion doesn't allow a dog to be in my presence. Okay. Here's the thing is I am not discounting people with allergies or people who have different religions. I do respect that. However, if you truly have allergies that are going to do something detrimental, like cause you not to breathe, then yes, that would be something valid. But guess what? You shouldn't be driving a cab, because you're going to get a lot of people who have cats and dogs as pets. And guess what? Their fur is on their person. So, you know, there could be problems there. So it just comes down to some of those things. It's fewer than 2%, I believe the CDC said, of the population has allergies that are so severe enough that a person would stop breathing by being near a dog or a dog dander, et cetera. So our next meeting for the board of directors is going to happen on October 24th. That's a Sunday. Our board meetings take place typically on the last Sunday of the month. And of course, October 24th is not, but we have a few folks on the NAGDU board of directors who have families and they want to spend Halloween with them. So we changed it for the 24th, and it happens at 8 Eastern, 4 p.m. if I'm doing my math right, 4 p.m.
Yes,
sir. For you guys. And again, that calendar, and I'm happy to send that document along that gives a lot of this information out.
Well, thank you so much. This has been extremely informative, I think, for everyone.